Morning, everybody. I'm going to call the meeting, the Special Business Committee meeting, to order at 8:35 a.m. We're going to do a quick roll call, starting with Jenny.
DeHasse here.
Lisa Summers here. Vaughn Billy here.
And others that are absent. I did not receive a phone call from Brandon nor Tina. So we will do the opening. DeHasse, you want to do the opening for us, please?
Dauna Gunjoka, Asuhun Siose, Gina Te Ohundu, Ganahela Dumsla. Aguego Skaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatni Gula de Tinoe Ladu, Nain, Yunkinoha, Ohunchage, G Segu, Yunkin Gula Dadi Dat, Yundu Akin Guatni Gul. Aguego Skaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatni Gula de Tinoe Ladu, Nain, Onegano Sogo, G Segu, Yunadi Wandi, Hadi Dat, Yundu Hakin Guatni Gul. Aguego Skaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatni Gula de Tinoe Ladu, Nain, Onegli Suha, G Segu, Yunadi Wandi, Hadi Dat, Yundu Hakin Guatni Gul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Awahit, G Sego in Adiwan Diero Hadi Dat when you do a King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Onunquatogu, G Sego in Adiwan Diero Hadi Dat when you do a King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Oyunquau, G Sego in Adiwan Diero Hadi Dat when you do a King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Asanate Gunahan Daily, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Gundilia Suha, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Ojita Suha, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Kanjokwa, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Oela Suha, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Hilji Stokwalu, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Yodahalo Sunquajiha, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Yunkisota Wehnidale, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Gae Nyungwedage, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Skanadalio, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Aguegos Kajia Dwahwe Nuni and Guatnigula Daitino Eladu, Nain Sunquai Disu, G Sego in Adliwan Dieto Hadi Dat, when you do Hakin Guatnigul. Dani.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, DeHasse. We have in front of us this morning the agenda, and is there a motion to adopt the agenda? Are there any changes?
Chair?
Yes, Jenny?
Make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Support.
Motion by Jenny, second by Melinda to adopt the agenda. For the resolution to support the application for U.S. Department of Energy grant. There are no additions or changes. Questions on the motion to adopt the agenda? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Well, you have a resolution in front of you to consider this. Actually, I believe we supported the resolution generically. And this is the detail of the application. There's a resolution at the back of the packet on page 10 of 12 that looks to request a match amount of up to $1 million, provided that we get 100% of this grant. match amount can include services, private investors, cash payments, and matching grants. Melinda.
So this item came before us on September 24th, and the business committee ended up asking the tribal secretary to schedule a special business committee meeting, which is today, to review the grant application. At the last business committee meeting, previous to that, the business committee had wanted further information around the financial commitments of the tribe, a legal review, and during the September 24th meeting, the business committee still wasn't fully understanding the financial commitments or alternative commitments that the tribe would have to make if we were to go ahead and support this grant. And because there seemed to have been differing perspectives from finance, even individual business committee members, and seemed to be a moving target around the financial commitments of the tribe, the business committee did not want to hold up the remainder of the business committee meeting at the time, so they deferred it to the special work meeting because the grant application is due on October 1st?
Second.
October 2nd.
So Michael and I met, and we were working on some of the clarifications that you guys were looking for. So Michael kind of put that together. So he's going to kind of go through those things, and then I'll fill in as best I can of where we thought you guys needed additional information on. Or do you want to do it through question and answer? I guess it's kind of...
Well, I
want to be redundant, I guess. So,
Madam Chair, I know for myself, I would like to have a very quick overview from front to end from you, because we've seemed to have gotten this information piecemeal, and that seemed to be one of the concerns of why we asked for the special meeting. So I would prefer for you to start from the beginning and explain to us exactly what it is that you're asking for and the project itself.
All right.
And I did put a presentation together. Unfortunately, your projector is not operational today, but I do have the presentation before you. I would like to go through that slide by slide, if I could, and certainly take questions at any moment, but I think if I can proceed through the whole presentation, that might be able to put some of the pieces together. First of all, thank you very much for scheduling a special meeting. I hope to be brief with the presentation, but yet fulfill your needs for information. So the first page of the document is essentially a project proposal, an information sheet that we did draft that summarized the project as far as buildings that were going to be recipients of solar electric systems. Included an example in the lower right corner. This is Kohl's Department Stores. This is what a facility solar electric system looks like. The list of facilities are down at the bottom. Numbers correspond to the map. One modification to this is that the system size, according to this presentation, is 793 kilowatts. We have received new information where the proposed amount now is at 695. So there was 100 kilowatts that were removed, which essentially means that the Oneida Farm, number 9, the County H Rec Center, number 10, and the food distribution, the Conservation Office were removed from that list. Okay, so first slide on the second page then. So this is again for the Oneida application to Department of Energy for the solar deployment grant. Mike Troji with Environmental Division, if I didn't introduce myself earlier. Next slide is essentially some definitions. Just wanted to give you some clarification about what some of these acronyms stand for. PPA is Power Purchase Agreement. That's something that we are looking to enter into with a investor. ITC is Investment Tax Credit. This is a tax credit that expires in 2016. PV, photovoltaics, solar electric. That's the technology that we're proposing. DOE is Department of Energy. Those are funding source for the grant. FLIP model is the structure of the business structure that we're trying to enter into with the partner to essentially allow them to take advantage of some of the benefits and allow us to take advantage of the actual installation of the equipment. On the third slide, first page, so I wanted to provide a quick upfront summary about what we are actually talking about here. Essentially, we are talking about no obligations on the part of the tribe until the tribe accepts the terms, and the terms would be the Department of Energy grant and the terms of the power purchase agreement. Second bullet point, no agreement with an investor will be created if Oneida declines the grant award. So if we, if Oneida is not a recipient of the grant award, there will be no power purchase agreement put together. Third bullet point, no agreement with investor until terms of the agreement are reviewed and approved by Oneida legal representatives. So this is a power purchase agreement. There's a negotiation period that will take place here between our own legal department and a firm that that specializes in these types of agreements, and that is all part of the process that we intend to follow. On the second page, this top slide, this is the timeline that we're looking at. So October 2nd is the application deadline. October from October to January of this year, I suspect that we will want to take a close look at the deal terms that we want to assure are inside this power purchase agreement. There are other things that we'll want to prepare for, certainly, but certainly the financial end of things, we'll have a little bit of homework to do here in the coming months, but I fully suspect that anticipate that the tribe will be in a position that they're comfortable with when negotiations commence. In January, Department of Energy will announce their awards, and that's essentially a period when or a time when Oneida will either be awarded or will not be selected for this particular project. And if we're not selected, then everything stops. From January to April of 2015, if we are awarded, there will be a number of months of negotiations between Department of Energy and the tribe to come to the correct terms of the contract to make sure that we understand what they're giving us, they understand what you know they're what we are going to be doing with the money and things like that. So I mean, there's still a whole several months there where it's not a for sure thing that we have received the money. And then at the end of that period, April. That's, you know, assuming terms have been agreed upon between the tribe and the Department of Energy, that is when the contract between the tribe and the Department of Energy will be signed. So again, there is no obligation on the part of the tribe to sign that contract if in the period that previous to that April 2015 time frame, the tribe finds that this is not something that they are comfortable with, we can not accept the grant. But if we do accept the grant, then this will be the period in of which the tribe and the investor will start to negotiate the power purchase agreement and come up with those appropriate terms. And that could take several months as well. A month, 2 months, 3 months, I've heard varying windows. So just to emphasize the point that we are not signing our life away, so to speak, if we issue this resolution. On the second slide, second page, so the how we anticipate the funding of the project to follow here. So the project cost is $2 million, and that is for 695 kilowatts of of solar electric on nine buildings, nine facilities throughout the community. The DOE grant could be anywhere from up to $1 million. We're not sure what the DOE's thoughts are behind this. You know, there is a limited chunk of money that is available nationwide. They may choose to give smaller amounts to a larger number of recipients. That could mean then that that number could be reduced, and then that will require us to crunch the numbers one more time, trying to determine if a smaller grant award will fit the needs of the tribe, the needs of the investor, et cetera. And if it doesn't, then the project will be canceled. DOE grant up to $1 million, investor partner $1 million. And that's essentially a match amount to the Department of Energy grant. So 1 + 1 = 2. So from an upfront standpoint, there is no contribution on the part of the tribe. That comes later. Let me clarify. And that in the fourth bullet point, that does it comes up there. So the tribal contribution to the project itself, construction of the project, that does not start until year one of that the project is up and running. During year zero, or essentially the during these next 12 months, there will be a tribal contribution of up to $25,000. Now, that is an approximate number. I have not received any estimates for that, only conversational estimates, so to speak, over the phone. Because the proposal, which I'll describe a little bit later, that is being offered by the investment company, they seem to have a lot of the terms that are already organized in such a way that they do benefit the tribe, or at least from my analysis. So there could be a limited amount of legal time that we need a legal firm to actually review the documents. But I want to be safe and put a number in there that will allow appropriate legal representation for the tribe. So that's the upfront cost, $25,000 to the tribe. The next bullet point under tribal contribution is the cost of the essentially a loan payment. So because the investor is able to take advantage of the ITC credit depreciation, that essentially limits the amount that the tribe needs to contribute. And the part that the tribe does contribute to the construction of the project is essentially what I'll call a loan from the investor, and the terms, again described later, are essentially between $70,000 and $80,000 per year for 8 years, and that's an annual payment. So it'll be a monthly payment, but cumulatively it'd be an annual payment of about $70,000 to $80,000 per year, and that's for 8 years. Now, this number is going to replace an existing payment that we make to the utilities of about $73,000 per year. So we're essentially replacing one payment with another.
So that was specifically, you know, some of the things that we had, quite a bit of conversation. So Division of Land Management is on that one. So we pay so much per month to the utility costs. In a sense, that portion of our responsibility that normally that we're not getting that electricity from WPS or We Energy, we will direct toward those payments that goes to paying for the solar unit instead. So there will be a payment, but it will be zero increases to the Division of Land Management's budget. So it's just a wash.
And that is true. during these first 8 years, and in fact during the next 30 years, 25 to 30 years, the solar electric systems on these buildings are going to be generating revenue in the amount of about $70,000 to $80,000 per year, again in revenue for the tribe.
So if you take the 73,000 and you multiply times 8, you get 584,000, and you're probably wondering, are we on the hook for the rest of the money? Because there's a difference of, we'll just say 500,000, and that would come in with the tax credits and the depreciation that Mike's going to talk about later on. And then at the end of the 8 years, we will owe some money, right, Mike?
Like
a last payment or something in the 8 years?
Very minimal.
Hmm?
Very minimal.
Yeah. So the investor is getting their $1 million back plus interest, and we're only paying for the energy that we're already using. So instead of paying the utility, we're paying the investor. We keep the panels in the end. It keeps creating energy for us, and we're saving money in the long run.
But I guess I don't understand what the return on the investment is from a long-range standpoint, because I don't know what the base is. What do we pay right now for these buildings? Because if we're getting $78,000, is that a credit for energy that we have to then turn around and make the payment back to the investor or to the LLC? I'm not really sure how this is going to be a benefit from a financial standpoint, because I don't know. Like, if we're paying, for just an example, because I don't know, I don't have any numbers to work from, we pay $500,000 a month for energy use for these buildings, and we get a $78,000 credit, we're still going to have to pay the difference for the energy bill, which is, you know, $422,000 a month. We're still paying the $422,000, and then $78,000 is this new renewable energy that we are creating, buying from the investor or from the LLC, and then paying it back from the tribe. So we still have the excess that's not generated. We still have to pay that. So I'm not, is that correct or not? Is that
we're paying that already.
I understand that.
We're paying that already, and we're essentially decreasing our, after the 8 year period that the investor partnership would be active, after that 8 years, essentially those assets would belong to the tribe.
So then our energy bill will be less than what those units are producing. So after 8 years, these are ours free and charge, and the electricity that they are producing is ours. Okay.
25 to 30.
Trish.
With that then, when does the investor leave the picture?
At year 9.
At year 9? Okay, so then in prior to that, going back to the building component, and we talked about $25,000 for legal representation in 2015, $73,000 was basically for the energy cost. So what about the equipment itself? Where is that being paid from, and how are we going about?
Can we go on to the next slide? Let me try and basically the third slide on the second page. Maybe okay. I can kind of clarify that a little bit more. To try and make it a little easier picture to identify with. Right now, the tribe is paying $73,000 per year for electricity, for the amount that the solar electric would be generating, and they're paying that right to the utility. You know, that's a typical cost that every facility, every residence pays to the electric company. With the PPA. And I did not indicate an eight-year PPA, so it would be 8 years. The tribe would instead pay the $73,000 per year to the investor and not to the utility. And essentially what we're doing here, we're paying, it's kind of taking advantage of $73,000 twice. We're essentially paying $73,000 to the investor for both the loan payment that they made to us, as well as for the energy that the electricity is generating for us.
Is there a buyout at the end of the 8 years
to the investor? There is a essentially what the proposal, which I did include in your packet, they indicate a $1 transfer fee at year nine, I guess that would be.
So the equipment cost comes from the DOE and also the investors partnership money. So they pay for that up front.
Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
You asked about where the equipment gets paid for. It gets paid out of the DOE grant and the investor. And then we pay for, that's just for the equipment. Then we pay, in order to make sure that this is a sound agreement, we will bid out to find working with the law office attorneys that are used to these type of agreements to make sure that there's a benefit to the tribe. And that $25,000, we were looking to take that from our funds that we are getting for some of our environmental practices. We get incentives for that, so we're going to use those funds to pay for that $25,000.
You have those funds already?
Yes.
2015.
That regular corporations and regular businesses like Kohl's, they get the tax credit because they're a taxable entity. And the tribes are left out of the grants that are made by the DOE because we're not taxable. And so they asked the tribes, what can we do? How can we make this work for you? And the tribes replied, well, we could form partnerships and let the taxable entity invest in the project, and they get the tax credits, but we still benefit by owning the energy in the end. So this is where this flip model came from, and this is why it's a benefit to the tribes, because we can't do that depreciation, accelerated depreciation, or that tax write-off to the benefit of the tribe. It's only for taxable entities. We can't change that. So that's why we're doing it this way. I know it seems confusing because we're already paying for the energy, except instead of sending it to the utility, we're sending it to this person who invested in us. And then when the investment is over and we own it 100%, we're still saving that much energy off of our energy bill. So every year, our energy bill will be reduced by $73,000 until the panel life is ended. So in the long run, we're paying, I'm just guessing, $584,000 for almost 30 years of energy cost at $73,000 a year. That's where the benefit to the tribe is. We're going to own this system, ma'am. Clean energy. And when, if we ever get taxed on carbon, that's going to be a great asset to the tribe. If, like a lot of nonprofit organizations are divesting from carbon sources like, coal and oil, and they're going to be looking for other investments, and this is going to fit their bill. They're switching from carbon sources to renewable sources, and we would fit what they need for their investing, because they'll get a return on their investment.
Larry?
From my perspective, we have a fiduciary duty to, of course, protect the tribe's financial affairs. The piece that I didn't get a copy of, but I see Mike has working pro forma, that needs to be evaluated, if at all possible, by an objective third party. Many public accounting firms have energy subject matter expertise to validate the assumptions. So that's one suggestion. There are a couple facilities that intuitively I question the energy use. I'm not in any way pointing that at H&H, but I don't know that the kind of payback, at least at the farm, is evident by way of energy usage. If that's the case, I stand corrected. But all the way through, we want to make sure as well to invoke required procurement processes, which is three bid, whether it be in the solar implements, the legal services, and throughout, along with the contributing investor. That needs to be, I think, also elevated to an open process. Within that, I also, to borrow perspective, would, as the chairwoman noted, the decided ROI for the life cycle of these solar implements from our standpoint, but more importantly, what are we affording the investors in terms of their ROI? If you take the 70,000, extend that out the 8 years, it's a prodigious number, approaching $6 million. So I would say, how would we, with that LLC, partner with somebody in the native world, given we're adding value several many millions of dollars? Just a thought. I don't have anybody to mind, but it's understandable why the investors want to expedite the non-disclosure and try and capture those tax credits. It's extremely financially beneficial, but you folks need to see the ROI on that end and very much use caution in picking who we're partnering with due diligence to make sure it's a good fit. So those are my perspectives. If the pro formas were circulated, I apologize. I didn't get a chance to analyze those, but I would express that third-party validation of those forecasts, given the scale of dollars, is advised. So those are my perspectives. And also, just along with that, yes, there's a 30-year typically a forecast, but solar equipment needs at some point to be replaced, and that cost needs to be baked in as part of the life cycle. And also some reserve for roof penetrations, because talking to other communities that have invoked these kinds of technologies, invariably you end up with leakage in the roofs. That's just how it is. I'm not saying that'll be a calamity, but you have to have maintenance costs also allocated as part of the savings prudently, because you will have ongoing maintenance costs. Thanks.
I guess I need to know, too, what other costs are involved, because, you know, we're talking about doing a venture with a company, which we don't know who or where. But if there's a fee, there's got to be other costs. You know, there's the cost of installation, the cost of maintenance, the cost of servicing, the cost to train personnel to run the equipment. I don't know if there's some conversion costs. I don't know how all of those costs are factored into this project. All I'm seeing is the financial commitment of, we can get a grant, we can create a company, we can sell the company, sell our energy to the company and buy it back from them through the LLC, but there's other tangible costs that go with that process, and I don't know where that budget is. I know you have some very generic numbers here. You have your operating expenses, and you specify the insurance expense and the tax expense, but it doesn't really have anything for fixed expenses, for the capacity-based expense and production expenses. And like I said, the other things that I talked about, you know, the cost of maintaining and training and installation, where are those costs built into this plan? And there may have to be some building remodels to do to install. And I've seen somewhere here you have a chart about expenses. And I'm not sure why, because I'm not sure. Like, you're talking about the usage of the systems on page 4 of 12, and you know, it says in the annual uses, and then it goes into install costs, is $2.2 million. And elderly services is going to cost $253,000. And then food distribution is $67,000. I guess I don't know why there's such a large variable between building to building.
Different size systems per building. So,
okay.
So some buildings have 20 kilowatts. Some buildings are going to have as much as 100 kilowatts. I apologize. We seem to be jumping around an awful lot. if I can, maybe perhaps I can finish the presentation portion of it. Maybe that'll uncover some of the answers that you're looking for, and then if we could, we can proceed with questions after that.
Okay.
Thank you. So on the first slide on page three, so this is an example of the flip model that we are looking at right now. Essentially, again, a graphical version, but essentially this taxable investor and the tribe will form an LLC. This LLC will essentially provide the funds between the grant and the investor to install the system. Payments from the tribe will essentially pay for both the energy as well as for the costs of the loan that we've received from them. And then at the bottom of that graph, it essentially says that on the front end, the tribe will own a very small percentage of this particular system, whereas the investor will own nearly all of it, and that's, again, for tax benefit reasons. Again, the on the back end then, at the end of 8 years, that asset will be switched over. On the next slide then, so again, why is this a last good opportunity for the tribe? Essentially, this is an investment tax credit, 30% tax investment investment tax credit that expires in 2016. And as Laura mentioned earlier, that the tribe is unable to take advantage of this credit. Accelerated depreciation is another tax benefit. Again, the tribe is unable to take advantage of this credit. Department of Energy grants are decreasing, I think considerably, and I wouldn't be surprised in 5 years' time that these grants might be turned into loans or something like that. That will be less cost-effective, obviously, than grants. There are few chances when ITC and grants are going to be available at the same time as well. So again, ITC expires in 2016. This will be our last shot unless Congress comes up with a plan to extend the tax credit after 2016. So all these points put together basically says that funding large projects are tax benefits or other types of sources are going away. On the third slide on page three, Oneida is a non-taxable entity, does not qualify for tax credits. It's a government entity, so it does qualify for grants. Oneida has multiple facilities with roof space that is going unused. So essentially, you could look at the roof of any of these facilities as potential profitable types of space that the tribe could take advantage of. And the essentially all of the combined acreage that these panels take up is about 2.7 acres. So pretty sizable size, significant size. Solar electric on a roof is space efficient, directly connected, and it generates revenue. So on page four, we have received a preliminary proposal from a investment firm, Solar Investment Wisconsin LLC. They were created in 2009, currently have 3,500 kilowatts, and I believe throughout the state. And according to their paperwork, they have are able to support this portfolio with zero debt. The initial proposal that they have offered us is essentially $1 million cost share investment, $80,000. I have $80,000 per year in red because that's the number that we are going to negotiate. And essentially the importance of that number is that it cannot exceed our current annual payments for energy. Again, their proposal offers an 8-year term, and it is a PPA power purchase agreement flip structure where the assets after that 8 years is transferred to the tribe. Annual loan payment must be less than the current electrical costs for project for the project buildings. So somewhere between $70,000 and $80,000 essentially is what we're striving for as far as the agreement between investor and the tribe. Some other things about the initial proposal. So they did mention that one or several PPAs, and that's some clarification that we'll all need to receive as far as if it's a PPA for the total project or a PPA for each individual building. I'm not sure what the significance of that would be at this point. The investor is actually offered based on the terms or that they've initial proposal is seen right now to provide the operation and maintenance for the next for the 8 years, the term of the PPA. After that, the tribe would assume responsibility for operation and maintenance. Proposal does cover LLC expenses as far as developing the LLC. A tribe shall receive all available credits, renewable energy credits, carbon credits, if that's something that we choose as well. They will provide a letter of commitment for which the grant application requires. And they are available anytime between now and Thursday if anybody has questions. And as a matter of fact, we do have a tentative meeting scheduled with them at 11 o'clock this morning.
Who's they?
I'm sorry. The Solar Investment Wisconsin LLC.
Who makes up Solar Wisconsin LLC? Is that the tribe? Is that a company?
No, it's a company. It's a private investors that have come together to form this company and provide some provide the dollars, the capital to be able to pursue projects. I don't know too much about them. This is I just received this information Friday, so we're still under research.
Yeah, further back in the packet, they have a list of the people, who they are and stuff, and also a description of the company.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so a draft letter from the company, Solar Investment Wisconsin, as well as another summary of their proposal is in page following the presentation.
So SunVest is Solar Wisconsin?
Yes.
Or no?
Solar yes.
Investment. SunVest Solar Incorporated. That's the same company?
Yes, they are. Operating under they are the same company. That's my interpretation. So on page five, the first slide, so here's some financial performance numbers that I've generated based on a popular financial model for energy projects that was developed from the National Renewable Energy Laboratory. Essentially, I'll start at the bottom. So if the tribe were to pursue this project with no grant and no PPA, red numbers essentially indicate that this would be a poor investment because there it's essentially all cost is on the tribe to pay for this project. Both PPA, no grant, or a grant with no PPA are a little better investments. But again, the net present value would indicate that this would not be a wise choice. Grant and PPA together does have a solid investment performance according to these numbers. Now, Certainly what I would agree with Larry, these numbers need to be confirmed, need to be certainly evaluated by our own teams as well as an outside firm, and there is time to do that. We don't have to confirm these numbers between now and Thursday. But again, this stuff still has to go through a very due diligent process.
Can you explain what on the top of the chart for financial performance it says NPV and IRR? Is that net present value?
Net present value. Apologize. Net present value and internal rate of return.
Okay, thank you.
The I did print out the pro forma. That is the 11 by 17 page on the back of the sheet. The next slide on page 5 is more or less a visual of what that pro forma looks like. So in year zero, that is where the grant is essentially the grant and the loan from the company is taking place. So there is a minus $500,000 there on the year zero. Year one, that is when the investment tax credit for the investor takes effect. And also in year one, we are generating revenue from those PV systems on the roofs. The next over the next 8 years, then the numbers on the below the zero represent the debt that the tribe has. The green bars down at the very bottom represent the annual payments that the tribe will make to pay off that debt. At year zero, essentially the debt will be paid. And then at year nine and beyond, that will be revenue to the tribe for from the PV that's generating the solar. Let's see, and just, you know, the small numbers make it difficult to read, but essentially the right vertical axis refers to the bottom green bars and the left vertical axis refers to everything else. The chairwoman, as well as Larry, did mention equipment replacement costs, and we did account for those as well. And those would initiate. We've got operation and maintenance over the course of the next few years, and that's one advantage with this technology is that it is very low maintenance. It's not no maintenance, but it is low maintenance. I do live with the equipment myself, the technology, and it's been. I've certainly seen a very low cost that I need to do on an annual basis as far as maintaining the system, other than maybe inspection or something like that. But the equipment does have a life of its own, and certainly. You know, there are two main systems. There are the panels themselves, what everybody sees when they see a solar system, and then there are electronic equipment that would be in the utility room of the building, and that's what takes the energy that's produced by the electric panels, processes it appropriately to make it able to be fed back into the electric grid, the main panel for the building itself. So we're essentially sending this energy right back into the grid to take advantage of the energy that's being used by the building itself, or in very rare cases would be sold back to the utility. I have about a 5-year period here where equipment costs will take place, and that's essentially where those, what they're called inverters, that's the electronic equipment that's generating the energy. They have a 20-year, I believe they have a 20-year warranty, actually, and I think they have a 20-year, no, I apologize, they have a 12-year warranty and have a 20-year life, whereas a module, solar modules have been shown to have 25 to 30 and even more as far as a life cycle. So that's a complicated graph. I apologize if if it brings up more questions, but certainly this will be something that the financial people will hopefully be able to interpret and ask more questions. So final slide on page 5, what else might happen? So there's a number of unknowns that might occur yet. So the DOE might award a smaller amount. The tribe may elect to build more. It might be an option. Utility rates may disrupt the terms of our agreements. Equipment prices can change. There are other unknowns. You know, these are things that we are going to be analyzing over the next several months. Almost done here, sorry. The Oneida Energy Team was formed in 2008. We've been doing a significant amount of work over the last several years. Oneida did basically come to the conclusion that energy efficiency as well as renewable energy are an important combined energy strategy for the tribe. We supported the Brown County. Brown County is an energy independent community. I think energy is certainly a regional thing, not just a tribal thing that everybody's paying close attention to.
In fact, the chair and I received an award with Brown County from the UW Chancellor's Award. So I'll let you guys see this.
The energy audit program certainly was an important tool for the our facilities people, but some of the findings did reveal that there aren't a lot of low hanging fruit, essentially items that are have 2-year paybacks or things like that. There aren't many of those remaining, and so renewable energy in certain circumstances is a way to replace that energy efficiency opportunity. And then another contract that the tribe has entered into is the energy optimization model, essentially a model used to create a renewable portfolio standard for the tribe to adopt, or at least provide suggestions or recommendations, and certainly revealed that financial incentives are certainly one of the best ways to try and pursue this type of technology. So again, next steps then, we need a resolution for the grant, preliminary acceptance of this proposal from Solar Investments Wisconsin. We want to receive GTC approval for this project, make funds available for legal representation, realign our current energy payments according to the PPA terms. So instead of paying the utility, we're paying the investor with the same amount that we're paying now for energy, and then prepare for power purchase agreement negotiations. So, on the next page is a letter from the investor. Page after that is a summary of their proposal, and then another proposal from H&H regarding the actual equipment itself. We won't go through that information at this point in time, but we're certainly available for questions.
So if I could just kind of just add at the end then too, so Michael's team is actually rolled in a process where we have the ability to actually continue to assess this, answer some more on questions that have been answered asked today to provide further clarification up through that January 15th, you know, where there's, we can just say, no, not a good idea for Oneida, and it really won't have any side benefits from us. But also there's the stopgaps along the way, too, that even goes beyond until we finally have that last negotiation with Department of Energy in April. So there's a lot of things within this process that allows for us to say, okay, if we miss something now, is there a way to say no, not a good idea for the tribe that's built in there, that we can say no without harming our future opportunities with the Department of Energy? Also, too, it was asked, you know, how did this fit in the big picture? You know, so this is a component of our energy plan, similar to what Brown County has done with their independent energy grant, is they have so much of it as that renewable portfolio about really providing the opportunities as clean energy, the ability to take care of these carbon credits or possibly even offset some, you know, they're talking about taxing carbon in the future. So those are just some of the highlights, you know, too, that just want to kind of reiterate from the process that we've been looking to try to, you know, increase our portfolio. We used to lead in this area, but we're now tracking them behind. You know, certainly we worked with Brown County, and I think they've done a really nice job, and I believe they're leading and putting together a nice package. Not that we're in a race with Brown County, but I think it is good for us to have this as part of our energy portfolio, as that renewable sources. So, thank you.
I just have a couple questions. What decisions went into, or what factors went into deciding which buildings to do? And the other thing is, in your building summary, you have 12 buildings listed, and in the project summary, you have 9 buildings listed.
Yes, so the original, and these things are massaging all the time as far as the total project that is happening here. We could very well not have a final plan until right before construction commences, because, you know, there are a number of factors such as utility requirements and so forth. You know, so there are, you can't have, you know, certain systems cannot exceed the power levels that the building is using during a period of time. So again, those are complicated issues that the utilities have imposed upon their customers. Those are some of the reasons that's one reason that some of these buildings have been chosen. Another reason is that several of these buildings are some of the largest users in the tribe's fleet of buildings at this point in time. Some of them have to do with solar availability, how much sun is actually hitting the roof, because that's an important piece for solar to operate. Other interconnection reasons and things like that. There are certainly a number of causes that pinpointed why these buildings stood out. There are other buildings available, and we could go bigger if we wanted to. But right now we just wanted to stick with a relatively secure plan. As far as your from 12 to 9, so the very first page indicates 12 buildings. Again, the farm building, the county H Rec Center, as well as I believe the Conservation Department have been eliminated in this most recent proposal.
Why were they eliminated?
I believe it had to do with the they were trying to do a one-to-one match between the investment firm and the grant itself. So $1 million for $1
million. Is there any reason why you didn't consider doing the Shenandoah building?
Top of my head, I'm not exactly sure. I'll just hazard a guess that there is a, you know, sometimes it's based on the structure or the structure of the roof itself. You know, if there's a, you generally try to look for a roof mount system, you try to look for large open spaces, and some of the buildings that we've been able to pinpoint here have that. If they have small broken up chunks, that might be difficult to justify. There might be some shading reasons there. I know that is one reason that the casino was actually removed from the list, is that there were some structural concerns as far as being able to pursue solar, at least in the immediate time frame.
And at what point does, thinking about all the buildings that are being served, at what point does it not make sense to even venture forth? So if the grant came in less than expected, for example, cut in half or whatever, so at what point does that say that this is not a good initiative to move forward with?
I think that analysis still has yet to be run. From my understanding, or from what the consultants that I've been talking to, is that they have been able to work with smaller systems. They've been able to work with investment firms to fund 50 kilowatts versus 693 kilowatts or something like that. So there might still be opportunity to enter into a PPA type of arrangement with a grant, but there's a lot of variables there that we have yet to analyze, yet to make sure that happens. We want to make sure that those investment numbers do come back appropriate to support that kind of strategy.
And if it was to be implemented the way it is, just say everything goes, in year 9 when it transfers back to the tribe, and do we have what staffing requirements will be necessary to carry it on?
Well, the part of the proposal is to have facility staff receive training for this type of equipment, and I think certainly inspection purposes, some basic electrical work, maybe even panel replacing panels if something happens to a panel. I think that can be certainly achieved by our current facility staff. There might be a cause for some kind of service agreement following for more advanced types of activities, such as replacing an inverter.
Was that accounted for in the projections?
No. Not as far as the service agreement was concerned, no.
So Solar Wisconsin is going to hire HH company, who then is going to contract with SunVest for the maintenance and the services?
The tribe and SunVest would form this LLC, and the LLC would contract with H&H to perform these perform the installation.
When does Solar Wisconsin come into play then?
SunVest and Solar Wisconsin are...
See, I was trying to ask that earlier. I didn't get a clear answer. So I'm not sure about the structural makeup of the LLC and the subsidiaries and the subcontractors. And then in your description of the contracts, it says that the legal firm will assist with negotiations and a power purchase agreement. It says contracts for structural and installation costs will be rolled into the payment agreement between the tribe and the investor. So who pays for the engineering costs and the legal costs?
That is all part of the contract. That is part of the proposal that we received from Solar Wisconsin LLC. And I apologize, I do not know. I think SunVest and Solar Investment Wisconsin are one and the same. If they're operating under, have two different names, or they have subsidiaries, I mean, those are, that's part of our research that we still need to.
Has any of this had a legal review regarding the contractual relationships of the LLC and the subsidiaries or any other contractors?
We have not looked into that at all. None of those talks have occurred yet. Yeah, those are all to be done.
Those would all also be part of the success or not. So these were, say, if they're successful, then we move forward. if they're not going to be successful, we don't like it, it's a bad deal for the tribe, then we will not move forward.
Well, I ask because if we're going to make a $1 million commitment, if we get $1 million match, make $1 million commitment, I don't want to find out the commitment is larger than $1 million because this all has to be budgeted. And if there's extra costs for each of these contractors or these subcontractors or whoever the LLC chooses, we need to know what those fees are up front.
I guess from the $1 million commitment, what are you referring to? I'm not quite sure. There's no tribal contributions going into this. The $1 million commitment comes from DOE and the investment company. That's what we have to find out yet.
That's why I'm concerned.
We want to do the bid process. We did get a proposal here that would sign a letter of commitment as part of the grant. Larry, suggested that we do follow the bid process. So these are things that it's like any grant that we write. Typically, we don't necessarily have a contractor picked out before we get the grant. That's part of the process. Once we get the award, we put out the bid process to get the contractor. The investing firm will be a little different, obviously, because you're going to want a lot of that work done before we actually get the grant. So that's what we'll be working on through this January.
Madam Chair.
Trish. Trish and Lisa.
The bid process, do we have the expertise to write that bid, or are we going to have to use a consultant to help us write it?
That is where that legal firm will assist with those questions. The legal firm will assist with agreement negotiations, other activities required to put that agreement together.
So that's part of the $25,000.
Yes.
Commitment.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And that's like Michael said, that's our best guess because we haven't put that out to bid yet. As part of the process, so.
Thank you for providing the additional information that we've been asking for. I'm still a little disappointed that this just didn't come forward right from the beginning as a total package to say this is what the project is and this is what we need from you. So I'm just going to, state that in the future, please bring us the total picture so that we understand exactly what it is that you're asking from us. So that's the first thing. The second thing is my understanding now, based on this information, that again today, what you need from us is the ability to move forward with applying for the grant itself. So what you need us to do today, only do today, is adopt the resolution that allows you to move forward as an energy team to actually put the application in for this grant. That's my understanding. And with that said, I think I can support that piece of the process at this point. I'm also going to ask the committee to make sure that we have at least, additional follow-up with you guys on this process so that we understand exactly where you are in each phase. I think you've heard some of the concerns today. I think you still see, for instance, if it potentially could be revenue-generating in the future, we need to know that. We need to understand what the cost of replacing the equipment is. And then I'm also going to suggest that the diligence be completed in coordination with our law office and with our finance department so that we are assured from that we have all viewpoints being considered at the table when we're proceeding with this. So that's going to be my suggestion to the committee at this point.
Just additional too. So I know you had also said earlier that you were probably going to be working with facility staff or training and stuff, and that you probably want to have, I don't know if you have, maybe you have already contacted, DPW to let them know you're applying for this grant and actually, talk to Kevin and see even what their workload is and availability to take on additional training or responsibilities as it will eventually come to them for maintenance. I know they do work with some alternative energy stuff, so I know they are familiar with much of this stuff already, but just the additional workloads. I know especially the electrical department is running pretty thin. They have all these current facilities to take care of with their normal electrical issues, and they're feeling the pinch. But just so you are aware to make contact with the appropriate
people
within facilities.
They are on the project team as well.
Trish.
I just have another question. In regards to the application, I don't ever think it's a bad thing as long as there's not a commitment. but on the memorandum from yourself on September 24th, you had an urgent request, which was provide financial statements to investors. I don't think we're anywhere near that step.
This firm is not asking for that information, at least not at this point in time. This is essentially the initial push just to get the commitment letters for the application.
Just for clarification to the committee, for my suggestion, I'm not suggesting that we support or do anything other than the grant application itself, and that we actually ask for those updates to come back regularly to the business committee until we're comfortable with that the complete diligence that we're looking for has been completed on this project. So I'll make that motion, first motion, to approve the
supporting the application.
Also, I'll make a motion to support the application for the U.S. Department Energy Grant, Deployment of Clean Energy and Energy Efficiency Projects on Indian Lands, Funding Opportunity Announcements, DEFOA 001021.
So there's a motion to support the application grant to go forward. That's what I'm hearing. With any other contingencies or just?
I'll make a follow-up motion.
Okay. There's a motion by Lisa and a second by Dihasi for the Department of Energy grant number DEFOA 001021. Any other questions or comments on this motion? I have a question. When do you find out about this, if you award it or not?
January.
January?
15th.
January, and then there'll be 3 to 4 months of talks between DOE and the tribe before any contract is signed.
Any other questions or comments? I guess I just have a comment that if the business committee is going to approve this grant application, that this is a $1 million commitment that needs to be considered in FY15 budget, which we have not concluded yet. And since we have till January, so I guess we're okay until then, but just to keep that as a note. Melinda?
I did have a question about whether or not we budgeted dollars in the fiscal year 15 budget for this and how much it would be. Or how much we did.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Did we budget to pay for this, our portion?
The $25,000?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't budget specifically for this project because it came up really fast on us, but we do have some funds that we think we can redirect toward that. We're looking at that around incentives that we get as a revenue source, so that has not been allocated to anything yet.
Can you be more specific about redirecting funds that haven't been allocated yet? And is this for 14 or 15?
It'll be actually for 16, and we'll have to look at it to see
for
if we
16?
Can. Yeah, we'll look at it to see if we can use it for 15.
You look at what? I'm sorry.
It's called the buffer program, so we get incentives every year. So we did not allocate anything for those yet. Around incentives for 16, that's when our plan was to get that. We should be able to look at seeing if we can do that. We also budgeted for a community project for 15, and we could change those project to this, you know, to this project. So,
what are those specifically, that community projects in 15? What did you originally?
We were probably going to use it around the lake. Project,
for what?
But for the lake, Oneida Lake. but we haven't made a final determination on that yet. Depending on where we're going to be short around bringing that lake project in, around the, what do they call it? Not the infrastructure, but stabilizing the area. So we did receive another grant for that. And if we are short, we're going to try to write another grant for that. So around the restoration portion of it, the northern part of the lake, through the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. So
through the what?
To the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. That grant comes due in February, I believe, for us.
Great Lakes Restoration
Initiative. Through the BIA.
So you're going to use that for this?
No.
No?
We'll use that for the lake if there's any gaps.
Lake.
Yeah.
Is that allowable?
Yes. We already received $165,000 for it already. But we just received the award from Natural Resource Damage Assessment. I know I'm getting off track. For the phase two, so we're going to need to write additional grants for that to begin that work for the second part of the lake. So I guess my point for bringing this all up is we're constantly looking for funds so we don't use, you know, tribal contribution. Now, I know they're all tribal contribution dollars as they come in, but from the casino and the retail stuff that gets tagged there. So,
well, I guess I'm just concerned that you don't commit money from the community project to this new grant-funded project if we get the grant, then turn around and say, well, now we need money for that.
Right.
Because we used it for this. And that's, I'm not okay with that.
Neither am I.
Why are you proposing it?
I was saying we'll come up with the plans we had for that. We'll come up with another, we'll write grants to offset that if we have to do that. We brought in a lot of projects in millions of dollars that hasn't cost the tribe. You know, we commit to finding those funds for these good projects. So, this is another area where we're trying to commit on some of the things the tribe says was important, with the $1 million grant. So we'll continue to do that. And I guess that's been kind of our task that we've given our teams to say, let's not try to spend tribal contribution. Let's try to find outside funds for that.
Trish?
Okay, then I just need clarification and verification. So we have $25,000 in possible funding, other funding that's not tribal contribution, it's some form of funding, to cover the legal, and that's what we would be committed to for 2015. Is that correct?
Right.
So then what the total match is really isn't a $1 million match from Oneida, correct? What the difference is that what we budget for our current utilities is now going to be, I mean, once this all happens and it gets done, if it
after
gets
year
done,
one.
Then there would be a $73,000 to $80,000 impact. That is what we actually pay right now to WPS, but that would be rediverted to our new partnership. Is that correct? So really, we're only talking about $25,000 cash out.
And we're hoping to find...
For 2015.
And as of last week, I'm pretty sure we found the buffer money, that incentive. We're just going to finalize that hopefully today, and we'll get that up to you. Once I've had the conversation with Lisa, and then I went to Michael... You know, then we're beginning to look at that $25,000. Can we take it from there? If not, we'll come up with that plan B, and we'll get that to you yet today.
So you're going to try, you're asking to redirect, I don't know if it's 20,000, 15, or 16 money for the $25,000 for legal fees to set up the LLC. And I'm wondering if the law office has resources to commit to that or if they can do that work instead. Has there been a conversation about that?
Excuse me, can you speak into the mic? It's really hard to hear.
Okay, I'll try. So anyways,
yeah.
Can you answer the question?
Yeah, I'm looking through a mic. I don't know how much conversation he's had with the law office or the team.
Jim Bidorf and Becky Webster have been a part of our project team meetings over the last several weeks. Some of the legal work is still pending based on the legal firm that we need to hire, and certainly our law office will be a part of those conversations and certainly be a part of the choice process, you know, as far as who we choose to be on that team to pursue those.
Well, I'm going to highly encourage you that you put out a bid for that legal services, because I'm not real thrilled with Godfrey and Kahn and their services and their fees, because they're extraordinary. They have just taken this tribe to the bank many times. So, you know, I think that's an important aspect that needs to be considered. So let's just put that out in front of us right now, okay? Because I did see their name in some of these documents.
They did offer some legal provide some legal work for us during this past contract that we had with for our energy optimization model, and you're correct, they are expensive, and we are fully anticipating or inviting as many qualified legal firms that have specialty with this type of activity. The reason Godfrey and Kahn drifted to the top is that they're a local company and they do have some specialty with energy agreements.
You don't need to be local with computers anymore. You know, we can go statewide easily, if not more. But that is a concern for me at this point. So back to this. Was there a question over here? No. Okay. Back to the fees. I just want to be ensured that is it for you said. $25,000 can be redirected for 15, and then you said for 16. So which is it? Or is it out of 14? Because you know what? We're going to a continuing resolution as of this week, which means you can only spend 1/12 of 75%. And so I need to know where you're going to identify that money from.
Yeah, I guess I did have a question. Was that including grant dollars too, that 1/12?
I don't know, because if you would identify where you're going to take it from.
Oh, I know. This is just it was a side question. When the continuing resolution, did it include grant dollars, too? Or
I don't know.
I'd have to look at the resolution, but I'm pretty sure it was of the whole budget.
Of the whole budget.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes – I wasn't thinking that that was for grants. And it's my own fault because I was going to ask that, and I got sidetracked. So, we'll get that. We'll have to look at that.
To know now. I don't want you to go look at it. I want to know now. You know, what exactly is the fund? You must have something in mind.
Yeah, well, I have the buffer and set of money that we were going to put into the system. We were going to program it in 2016. We're earning it right now. But we might be able to, we're going to look at it today to see if we can use it for 2015. But we also have our community funds that we have in our Equal Services budget. And that was for 2015. The buffer money that's outside funding, we probably weren't going to program that until, because we're earning it right now, until 2016.
So you might have to use multiple funding sources then to meet the 75%.
So, Madam Chair.
I'm saying I need at the end of the day to confirm it. I don't want to tell you something that's not true. That's where I'm having a little trouble.
All right, Lisa, then Jenny.
In my follow-up motion, I do intend to require that they bring back a full complete funding package for this program. So if we can get to the follow-up motion, I'm going to be asking for specifically, because I know we all still have questions around what you're asking for, and I think we want to get to that information, but if we can get through the first motion, I can make my follow-up motion, and then hopefully that covers the additional follow-up that we're going to be asking for the team to be making.
Jenny?
The award notice doesn't come out until January. The continuing resolution is only until the annual meeting. So that might happen close to the same time.
Melinda.
And I guess, I don't know, I'm reading the last, therefore be it resolved, and I can see where we're confused maybe about what the commitment is, because it does talk about we want to submit an application from the U.S. Department of Energy for an amount of up to $1 million with a match of up to 100% grant award, And I understand that we're going to use matching grants, private investors, cash payments, and in-kind services, but the layout and the schematics of it, just, I mean, I'm playing it out in my mind, and I understand how that's going to roll out and work. But I don't know if, I don't have a suggestion at this point about how that could be rewarded to maybe better fit what we're trying to do, so I guess I'll just wait for the vote. But I do have some concerns about, and I only have the concerns, and I would like the chairwoman to validate her concerns around Godfrey and Khan, because Godfrey and Khan has also offered their services for free for some of our tribal members, as well as offered services for free for the tribe in instances, and some of our ancillary boards that we serve on, such as MAST, the MAST Health Board. They have offered their services for free to apply for grant applications. So I don't want it to make it seem like we're blacklisting an entity up here at this level. I would like for you to, you know, make sure that the RFP is open to those individuals. And if we have concerns about those kind of companies, we should have that discussion all together. So at the same time, I understand and I'd like to support the resolution. I just don't have the suggested language for that now, therefore be it resolved, because I would hate for this to be misinterpreted that we're committing ourselves to $1 million a year for the next 8 years, and that's not the case.
Around Godfrey and Khan, you know, they really did charge us more than I thought was necessary for the seven generations issues, legal issues, not only the tribe but the corporation prior to the current pending lawsuit. And I do appreciate the fact that, yeah, they do help Mass. They also help all the tribes in the state. They're friends of mine. But what I'm saying is that there needs to be a three-bid process for the services. That's all I was really saying. And, you know, that we aren't going to just state, or it sounded like they were already deciding that that's going to be the law firm. And I'm just not okay with that.
There will be a
no. Thanks for the clarification, because I agree with you that there does need to be a bid on legal services.
Was there another question or comment from somebody? If not, you guys ready to vote? All those in favor of the motion to adopt the resolution, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
I would like to make a follow-up motion that the energy team work with finance and the law office to bring back a final project proposal, including the due diligence that we talked about and explained to you that we had concerns about today. And then a complete funding package is also included in this final project proposal. And this needs to be brought back before the beginning of the year, so before January 1st, with an update at the first meeting in November to the business committee meeting.
This motion made and seconded. Yes. Chad?
We won't know the award amount, so we could give you lots of different backup for that. Is that what you're asking? Because if we get $500,000, that package would be different than $1 million.
Correct. And I think that you've given us those possible scenarios, and I think that you can bring to us information about how the tribe reacts in those different scenarios that you're describing. So we might get scenario one, two, or three based on the amount of the grant. And I'm looking to this team to bring that information back to us to describe what that looks like. And you kind of mentioned it already in the last week's meeting when you talked about if this happens, then it's a no-go. If this happens, this is a no-go. So I think that you guys as a team have the information that we're asking for, and you've heard our conversation today.
So January 9th is when they would tell us the award amount, but go ahead and just do extrapolations before that and present
it? We can offer what-if scenarios, yes, basically.
So there's a motion made and seconded to approve energy team for this project, specifically this application, to work with the law office and the CFO and finance to bring back a funding agreement package by January 1st with the first update on how this is progressing in the first week, the first meeting of November of the business committee. Lisa?
Just for clarification, it's more than just the funding. It's the entire package. Like, because we got the project proposal from this company, but we didn't actually get it from the team. So making sure that that's all completed, and then you heard the conversation about what our expectations are yet, the questions that we have, and to bring all those that included in that project proposal.
Okay, Lisa, can you please repeat your motion?
Sure. I'm making a motion for the energy team to work with finance and the law office to bring back a full project proposal, including all the due diligence and a funding package to be completed by the first of the year, with the first update back to the business committee by the first meeting, BC meeting in November.
Okay, any other questions or comments on the motion? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
Would it be appropriate to make a note?
Thank you.
The initial outlay is for 2015 is up to 25,000.
If you want,
Okay, I'd just like to make a note for the record that the 2015 expenditure would include up to $25,000 for this project if it's approved.
If it's approved, if the project's approved?
Yes.
I think they need to spend it before the project's approved. Maybe I'm wrong, no. You don't need to do any work between now and the application?
I don't think we would spend any money on legal until we get to get the award, and then if you say it's a go. So we'll have a negotiation period between the tribe and the DOE, and that's when we'll work out all the tough details about the purchase power agreement, you know, how we're going to spend the money, those kind of things, because they have questions for us as well as us for them. And then we'll get to the point where we get into the structure with the investor. And that's when, you know, as soon as we're all comfortable with the way that this is going to go, then we'll start working with the investor.
Mike, do you anticipate spending money before we get the grant award?
I'll say no, but it might be a benefit to the tribe if we brought a legal firm on a little bit sooner than to provide some advice prior to the award being made available to the tribe.
We can work on an RFP if that's the case. All right. Trish made her comment for the record, so there won't be no action on that item. Any other questions or comments on this? All right. Anything else on this agenda? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Support.
Motion to adjourn. Second by Deasi, I think.
Thank you.
All right. All those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.